this time that we could gather here tonight in your name. Thank you for the privilege it is to serve you, the Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and just to know what puts the motivation behind that service is because of all that you, by your great grace and mercy, have done for us and our behalf. And it's because of that that we give you our lives, we give you our all, we give you our service. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't neglect to do that. Lord, that we would be mindful of it, we would be thankful of the redemption that we have in your name, and that it would motivate our service for you so that we might bring glory to your name, because that is the end goal of all of our service for the cause of Christ. Lord, just bless this time now as we study your word together and we study this behavior of a Christian. We pray that it would fill our hearts as we walk in the Spirit and as we submit to his will through the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. And I trust that you brought your Bible with you tonight. We are going to be going several places tonight in the Word of God, as we always do, and we will be reinforcing this behavior as we see it elsewhere throughout the Word of God, spoken of greatly. In fact, spoken of so greatly that as I was working on this message and studying it, it became two messages. So we're going to handle the first part tonight. Otherwise, it might give you too much. We might be here till midnight, and I don't want to do that. So we'll give you half of it tonight, and then we'll look to do the other part of it, Lord willing, next Wednesday we gather together. In studying through the 25 supernatural behaviors of a Christian that we find here in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, but we have looked at our personal duties or our responsibilities, which you find there in verse 9. Look at them with me. Let me just read it to you. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, or that is hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. These are personal responsibilities that we are to take up amongst ourselves internally for the Lord, and these are important things, and you'll notice the whole aspect of it is built on the principle of love without hypocrisy. So here we have agape without hypocrisy, and the agape, of course, when we are saved, regenerated, says in Romans 5, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given us. That is God's love, the unconditional kind of love that only regenerated believers share, because their God has it and he gives it to them so that they may give it forth. So all of these behaviors that we are looking at, all 25 of them, are going to be built on this principle of love that we see here at the beginning of verse 9. And now we're in the process of looking at our duties or our responsibilities in the next section, which consists of verses 10 through 13 in relationship to our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, or in the family of God, in the household of faith. So let me begin in verse 10 with the first of those and read up to the behavior that we are going to be dealing with tonight in verse 11, actually at the end of verse 11. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And then he says, not slothful in business, or not lacking behind or lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, and here it is, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. With this particular behavior tonight, we are finishing up, let me remind you, our third, what we would call triplet, in this section of 9 through 21. We find actually five triplets that are given in the way that Paul writes this in verses 9 through 21. The first triplet is in verse 9. The second one is actually in verse 10. You might have thought it was just a dual instead of a triplet, but it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another." There's one. "With brotherly love," there's another, because they're two different words for love. And then "in honor, preferring one another." So you've got three things there in that second triplet there in verse 10. And then the third one, the triplet, is in verse 11 with the one that we are looking at tonight ending it, serve one another. So the fourth, let me just go beyond this, is in verse 12. And then the fifth and the final triplet we will see in a future day is in verse 16. But the last behavior or supernatural trait of a genuine Christian in this third triplet is serving the Lord. Perhaps someone will ask, what does this have to do with our responsibility and our duty to the family of God? As doesn't it seem like something directly related to our relationship with God? Because understand, this is all in the context of our duties toward the family of God. So that's why we're looking at it in that light. So yes, as we serve the Lord and the Lord only, and we do whatsoever we do for the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But we will in effect be fulfilling the God-given duties toward our brothers and our sisters in the household of faith. So part and parcel, if not most, of our service unto the Lord, I suggest to you, involves and it affects in some way his body, i.e. our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And the rest of it, if it doesn't involve or directly affect our brothers and sisters in the Lord, it involves and it affects this lost and unregenerate world of ours that we live in, as we both in word and deed, we testify of our faith in Jesus Christ so that they might be one to him. So this is serving the Lord, most definitively. I guess what I am getting at here at the start, and what Paul, I believe, is getting at as he writes this, is a matter of priority and a matter of perspective when it comes to this statement and carrying it out. First of all, let me address the priority part of it. And what I mean by priority is that when it comes to this phrase and carrying it out, everything we do, Christian, should truly be in his service and for his glory. First and foremost, it's out of that that others will be affected. It should be a priority item, we might say, especially it should affect the household of faith, whether it's our preaching, whether it's our teaching, whether it's our helping and assisting inside or outside of the church. It's cleaning a bathroom, it's doing special music, it's calling and it's encouraging one another. Our faithfully coming, even attending, as you remember, Hebrews 10:25 says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as you see this day approaching, but we're to stir one another up unto love and good works. So even our coming is a part of our service for Jesus Christ. Our giving is a part of our service, giving to one another, giving to the Lord's work, greeting, holding a door for somebody, something as simple as that, yeah. I mean, if it was as simple as Paul to say, whether therefore you eat or drink, he takes some of the most natural menial tasks that we fulfill in our lives, do all to the glory of God, and he uses those as the base example, then doesn't it include everything we do? It includes the work that we go to, the workplace. It includes all of it. It includes our testimony, not just to the household of faith, but out there to the unregenerate world, the unsaved world. And let me just say this, we aren't doing it so that others might like us. Some people serve the Lord because they want others to like them, or they want applause, perhaps. They want praise for what they do. But that particular act of service, whatever it might be, and whoever it might have affected, is our service, first of all, to God, priority, and to His glory. As I thought about it, we might say it this way. It's our duty toward the family of God to serve God. And all that we do, even though we understand much of it affects and involves the family of God, is unto the Lord, and it's for the Lord first and foremost. Everything we do is a matter of priority, and it should be done first and foremost for Him. This is indicated many a time throughout the Word of God, and I'm going to have you join me in a little exercise here. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy with me. The book of Deuteronomy with me. And we're going to start out in chapter 5. And we're just going to skip through a few of these chapters, and we're going to just see and listen to the Word of God, Deuteronomy, and the Lord through Moses telling the people to serve Him, serve Me, no one else, no other gods before You. But listen to God's Word through Moses as I read a few of these passages and we go through this. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 9, He says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them," He's talking about false gods, "nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate Me." And then look at chapter 6, verse 13. Chapter 6 and verse 13, even though the word service wasn't used there, that is the implication. But in 6:13, He says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God," and here it is, "serve Him, and shalt swear by His name." And then 7:4, look at 7:4, "For they will turn away thy son from following Me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." Why would the anger of the Lord be kindled against them and destroy them suddenly? Because they were serving someone else when they're to be serving the Lord. Look at 8:19. 8:19 says, "And it shall be if thou do at all forget, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish." So you see how serious God is about this, about service only to Him. And then look at 10:12. Look at 10:12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him," and here it is, "and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul," with thy whole being. And then 10:20. Look at 10:20. "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name." And then 11:13, look at 11:13, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto My commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God," and to what? To serve Him. And then one more, look at 13:4, last but not least, He says, "You shall not do so unto the Lord your God." I'm reading from 12, sorry about that. Verse 13:4, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him." Do you remember what Joshua had said years later after the people had continued to, you remember, revert back and to serve the false gods, the other gods? He laid it on the line to the people of Israel. In Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. And I'll just read it to you. Joshua's not too far from Deuteronomy here. But in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." And then verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," says Joshua. I was looking, you're familiar probably with 1 Samuel chapter 12, at the emphasis of Samuel on serving God. And here in this passage, just to give you a little backdrop of it, the people of Israel, they pushed for and they even forced their way into getting themselves a king that could rule over them. You remember that, as they weren't happy with having just God or even God's prophet Samuel, and they wanted something more, kind of like the other nations. They wanted to be like the other nations. It's like us wanting to be like the world. And so the Lord gave them more, and boy did he, with Saul, which Israel paid for dearly. But I want you to look at the emphasis that Samuel gives in the midst of their wrongful decision in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12 and look at verses 13 and 14. He says, "Now therefore, behold, the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God." And then look at verses 19 and 20 of the text of 1 Samuel 12. It says, "And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all of our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." And then look again at verse 24. It says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." Samuel is saying, in effect, you say, what's going on here? He's saying, confess your sin, confess your wickedness in choosing a king for yourselves, and get on with life as you and your king do what you're supposed to do now. And that is follow the Lord and serve the Lord with all of your heart. So no, it wasn't right for you wanting a king, but you've chosen him, you wanted it, God's given him to you. Now, continue following the Lord, not that king. There are going to be times where we sin. As I thought about it, we become self-serving. We become self-centered, and we fall. And we need to confess it to the Lord, our God. And we need to get back and we need to get our focus right again as we serve the Lord with all of our heart. You see, when you and I are serving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our being, there's no room in your heart to serve anyone else but him. Isn't that right? I also want to point something else out here in verse 24 where Samuel tells the people to look at it. And this is important. Serve the Lord in truth with all your heart. But he says, notice, in truth. You can underline it. And this brings us to the second thing as Paul's statement back in Romans 12:11 that I mentioned. is given, not only is our service to be a matter of priority, as everything we do for Him first and foremost, but our service is to the Lord is to be a matter of perspective. A matter of perspective. And what I mean by that is this. In our service to the Lord, everything that we do for the Lord should be, and it ought to be, consistent with, are you ready? His truth. His truth. His will, that means His way, His desires, His word. Samuel commands the people to serve the Lord in truth. Very important. With the perspective to the truth. Some people are doing things today in the name of serving the Lord, you know what? That aren't even consistent with the Lord's word or with the Lord's character or with His truth. But rather, they're contrary. And yet they say, well, I'm serving the Lord. Oh, really? Yeah, see, we have this or that going on in our church and and it's drawing people of the world and they just love it and all of this. And we get things going at our church. And I even knew of a church that said, we don't do church here. Is that really serving the Lord? Or is it again serving self? It's serving what we like. It's serving what we desire, isn't it? Serving what pleases man. What pleases others. Our service to the Lord is first and foremost should be in truth. With a perspective to the truth, according to and consistent to the Word of God, to the will of God, the desires of God, the holy way of God, to His commandments. This is vital to understand, especially today, with the way the church in the contemporary Christian realm has gone and the way it's headed. It's been that way for decades now. So first of all, is everything that I do first and foremost to serve the Lord and to bring glory to Him, which His glory does not belong to another? You remember, He tells us that actually twice in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, as well as Isaiah 48 and verse 11. And then secondly, is my service to the Lord, is it fixed in on His truth? Consistent with the Word of God, consistent with the desires of God, the character of God, the will of God, the way of God. We see these two realities and these two matters of priority and perspective in service to the Lord in the New Testament as well. I want you to go over with me to Colossians, if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We're also in a moment going to find ourselves in verse 23. But do you remember what Paul said to the church of Colossae? I love it. These books are really, Ephesians and Colossians, our sister epistles. They say many different things, but they say many of similar things. But he spoke of Spirit-filled living as well as what he did in Ephesians chapter 5. But here in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 17 with me. After he says, let's begin verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And this is all a part of Spirit-filled service. And then he says in verse 17, notice, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. So whenever you and I see that phrase, in the name of the Lord, do all in the name of the Lord, he says. It means according to or after His will, after His way, after His desires, according to His person. It's the same when actually we pray to the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded what Jesus said in John 14, verses 13 through 14, he says, "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." People say, "Hey, I asked for that Ferrari and God didn't give it to me." That's not asking in his name. Not at all. The phrase "in my name," it means what? It means in accordance with his will. It means after his will, consistent with his desires, with his commandments, with his way. So going back to Colossians 3:17, this is how we are to serve the Lord. Get that. Don't miss it. Do everything that you do for God in the name of the Lord, after his will, his desires, his word, his way. That means you need to be in the Word of God. The writer to the Hebrews, and we're going to get to this in our second part as well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, such a marvelous text, but he says, second to the very last verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And the word "acceptably" there, it means in a manner pleasing to him, or it means in accordance to his will, in accordance to his way, his acceptance. This is what God accepts. Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 26, you're probably familiar with it, he says, "If anyone serves me, let him," what? "Let him follow me." Let him follow me. What's that telling us? Well, he's telling us how we properly serve him by following him after his will and after his way. So our service to God is to be consistent with God's truth, with his desires, with his way, with his commandments. Otherwise, it's not really service to God. You remember, Paul indicates about serving God even before he had his Damascus experience. And God said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute thou me?" But he talks about being zealous toward God, even as the rest of the religious leaders, the Jews. I think of his testimony in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and I want to just read it to you. Because he thought he was serving God then. Acts 22, in verses 3 and 4. He's talking to the Jews here. This is Paul's testimony. "Men and brethren and fathers," verse 1, "hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, he said, "Okay, you're Hebrew, I'm ready to listen." He says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia." He says, "Yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers." And now notice this. "And was zealous toward God, as you all are this day." But notice what comes next in verse 4. "And I persecuted this way," which was another term for the followers of Christ, "unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women." And then we have Jesus coming with the voice from heaven and the bright light and saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So let me ask you a question. Was what Saul was doing, as he talks about how he was zealous toward God, he was diligent toward God, in other words, he was serving God, but was he consistent with God's truth? No. No, he was far from it. And so were the Jews and the Judaizers who were following the traditions of man, not God's word. So it has to do in God's truth. So the New Testament is also clear, as in the Old Testament, on serving the Lord according to, let me just say this, perspective. But we also see here in Colossians 3, down in verse 23, how everything we do is to be done to him and for his glory. Look at verse 23. I told you we would come back to Colossians chapter 3. Look back at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. He says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for you," here it is, "you serve the Lord Christ." And the word heartily, I just want to point this out. It comes from two Greek words, as it's a compound Greek word, psuche, which is the word for soul, heart, life, mind, breath. And then the prefix ek, exuke, which means out from. So together, it means out from the heart, or out from your very breath, or out from your very life, out from your very being. And it's the idea of all you have and all you can give, all you can do and give and do, give it to the Lord, first and foremost. As if you are going to give someone or something all of your being, then it goes without saying that you set them as your priority. You set them as your priority. And by the way, if there be any doubt in the context that serving the Lord is what Paul is speaking of here, verse 24 clinches it as it speaks of the reward to those who carry out such wholehearted, God-ordained, God-honoring service for the Lord. The Lord rewards those who serve him. The Apostle Paul over in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, and I'm so looking forward to getting into that book eventually. I am enjoying the final snapshots of the believer, or of the revelation that we're looking at on Sunday morning, but we'll be getting to this soon. Study in Romans, Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't return for us first. But over in Romans 1:9, notice how Paul opens up his letter, and we're going to be talking about this. I've been, in fact, studying a lot about this, so it's been dovetailing nicely with this behavior. But he talks to the believers in verse 9 about what? Look at it. He says, "For God is my witness." I'm calling on God for my witness now to say that I'm speaking the truth. "Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." That's how I'm serving. That's how I'm serving you already. I haven't even come to you. "I make mention of you in my prayers always." I serve the Lord in my spirit. That's a key phrase. We're going to look more at that when we get to our study. But Paul never lost sight of his foundational mission. He served God, and he served him correctly. He served him in spirit, in his spirit. He served him both in terms of priority. He served him in terms of perspective. Now, this is where we break it up. Having looked at the overall and the basic premise of this eighth behavior of a Christian in Romans 12:1, seeing how it has built right into it a matter of perspective and a matter of priority, perspective in the fact that everything we do, Christian, is to be consistent with God's word, and priority in the fact that all of our service is to be strictly and wholeheartedly done to him and for his glory. But we're going to come, next time we come together, to looking at the etymology of the word in Romans 12, verse 11. You say, what's etymology? It's what the word's built on in the language of the text. And we're going to see it, because there's several words for service that are given in the New Testament. And I want you to note each of them, and the one especially that's being used here in verse 11. But we'll come back to that when we gather together next time. Let's just look to the Lord. Father, it's our desire to serve you with priority and to also serve you with perspective. And I pray that this would be our overall goal, even as we have just kind of glazed over this act of service that we are to give to the Lord, serving God. I pray that we would serve the Lord with priority. That is, first and foremost, He would be Lord of our lives, and we would want to give glory to Him above anything else. And then that we would serve Him also with perspective. We would serve Him in truth. We would serve Him according to His word and to His will and to His way, to His desires, that we would serve You in that way, Lord. Help us to do that with hearts that are full of love and thanksgiving and appreciation for what You have done for us on our behalf. And we'll just thank You for it. Pray for our time now as we gather for prayer. In Jesus' name.